This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network and wherever you are on the free Odyssey app. Good Monday morning. Look at this. The sun is coming up at this hour. That means that we are in the throes of spring, headed towards summer, with so much going on in New York sports. We are right there about May. We're going to see May this week. And we've got Knicks playoff basketball in full swing. What a game yesterday. The ups and downs, the physicality, the drama, the complaining about the officials, you had all of it. The scare with Jalen Brunson going back to the locker room, but him coming back and being the closer and the superstar clutch man that he is. And they have a 3-1 lead now in this series against the Detroit Pistons. And it was just good to see another Karl Anthony Towns performance. That's back-to-back where he looks like a guy who he should be, which is a top player in this league that could dominate basketball games. We got draft stuff. We got Mets and Yankees. We've got it all. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, G. I'm doing great. And in regards to this Knicks game yesterday, you had it all. You had big leads by one team, a blown lead by that same team. Detroit comes back. And then Karl Anthony Towns just had an amazing finish to this game. An amazing finish. So this is the guy that, you know, we wanted to see in the playoffs. We wanted to wait until we got to the playoffs to see what he was going to look like. And these last two games have basically elevated him now to the player that we were hoping that they had acquired when they got him.
Yeah.
Right? That shot from behind the backboard.
He's done that a couple of times. It's insane.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, it's just something that he's got in his arsenal. And there's a confidence that he is showing in these games that, you know, I hadn't really seen against good teams, and especially good teams late in games all year. Like, we had seen the version of this guy against, you know, the Wizards or whoever else, you know, but not in games like this against good physical basketball teams. I think that's the most encouraging thing, is, you know, the Pistons are trying to be physical with him. They're trying to shut him down. They're trying to get in his head and played all the stereotypes of him not being a big-time player or a soft player. And he has stepped up in these last two games after having only 10 points in game two and has looked like the best player on the court, which is a great sign if they could finish this off and move forward, because then you feel like you actually have a chance in the second round where you didn't feel like you had a chance in the second round after games one and two.
Yeah, you know, watching Boston and Orlando. Excuse me. Watching Boston and Orlando yesterday, you know, neither one of those teams are all that physical, although Orlando's trying to play physical against Boston. There isn't a team that is nearly as physical as Detroit's playing the Knicks right now. And if I had to, and I know that I'm biased because I am a Knicks fan, but I have to say, watching these games, I want to feel like it's a 60-40 in terms of the referees in favor of the Pistons. Now, I know at the end of this game yesterday, there is a very controversial call in the eyes of Bickerstaff, their coach over there in Detroit, as to whether or not there was a foul in the last shot. And I'm glad they didn't call it. I am so glad that they didn't call that. And I was just thinking about the complaining and listening to the post-game press conference. And I'm like, you know what? I have a feeling like it's 60-40 in favor of the Pistons, the referees, the way they've been calling games. And I know that you know, Cade Cunningham didn't get to the line all that much yesterday. But then again,
got more than Brunson did.
Yeah, I know that. But I'm just like, you got to force the issue if you're one of these guys. And I don't know. It's just it. And I know as a fan, I hate complaining about the referees, especially when it comes to my Rangers. And it's the screw the Ranger button that gets hit. But I don't know. I just feel like Am I wrong?
No, not at all. I mean, but I also felt like, I'm done with the complaining about the officials. I got on Tibbs, you know, after game two complaining about the officials. I thought it was ridiculous. So I think the J.B. Bickerstaff, when he's complaining about this, especially the way the game was officiated, I mean, they're knocking each other over for four quarters, and then all of a sudden, you want that to be called at the end of the game? And then have foul shots determine the outcome? No way. So, but yes, I do think that the Pistons have gotten probably more calls. Feels that way. Maybe we're looking through a Knicks lens. But I'm sorry. This is you had every opportunity in the world. I feel like we're going through this again, like Rick Carlisle last year, and everybody saying, "Oh, the Knicks are going to get the calls, and they're the big market team." And shut up. You had a lead in this game. You went home. You lost two at home. And if you're going to sit there and blame the officials for it, then you're a loser. Just like I told Tom Thibodeau that
he was a loser after
game two.
That
was a loser mentality.
Yes. You can't have that mentality.
And you know what
right.
They did was they came back and they fixed all the things we were asking, though, which was great about it. So even though I was alarmed at all the excuses he was making after game two, they came back and fixed all of that stuff. So, yeah, just a loser mentality.
But I will say, though, that these last two games and the performance in crunch time by by Carl Anthony Towns is exactly what you could only, as a Knicks fan, you this is what we hope for. And he was unbelievable. I mean, again, the shot, I mean, like the 3-point shot was a great shot.
Yeah.
But at least that was, he was probably about 5 feet. He had a couple where he's about 5 feet from the 3-point line. And the last one was amazing. But the shot from behind the basket. That didn't touch anything.
Yeah.
I mean, it just went like straight through. To have the ability to do that with a guy draped all over you. I mean, those are the types of plays, if they get through this series, which we think they will, but those are the types of plays that he's going to have to continue to make if they're going to go on to win. I mean, that was an unbelievable fourth quarter performance.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's one of these post Sports Plus stories that is behind the paywall.
Yeah.
That I didn't pay for. But you know who there? Stephon Bondy wrote an article saying that there was one man behind this inspiring performance, back-to-back performances of Carl Anthony Towns. And the name is just hilarious of who the guy who has been the catalyst to get him playing like this. None other than our friend Kyrie Irving.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I can't read the article, though, which is just so funny. He goes, Carl Anthony Towns' performance that saved the Knicks came thanks to Kyrie Irving.
Did they have a conversation or something?
I don't know.
What happened?
Whatever it is. I mean, it definitely got me my attention with the headline, but I just thought that was funny. Of all guys to inspire our superstar to play like a superstar, here it is, Kyrie Irving. But, yeah, I mean, after game two, I felt terrible about the Knicks. I came on here and said that this team's got no shot in getting past the second round. Well, after these last two performances, even though both of these games came down to the wire, just the way that they played, who stepped up. I mean, it's like every game, though, I got to worry about Jalen Brunson's ankles. I mean, can we get through one of these games where we're not worried about his ankles? I mean, Jesus, it's like you see the entire season flash in front of your eyes every single game.
Well, look what happened to Damian Lillard.
Yeah, I know.
Achilles. He blows out his Achilles. I mean, these are the things that you worry about. And it happened to the Knicks last year. They just basically were going down one by one by one by one. And it just goes to show you just how competitive these games are. I mean, some of it's not pretty. But you can tell that they're actually competing. This is not like game 41 in the middle of the season.
Yeah, and that was one of the points that I had when I was positive about the Knicks during the season when they were losing to the better teams. I said, you're not going to see them play like this in the playoffs. You're going to get a different type of team. And it didn't get off to a great start. But maybe this, if you want to go glass half full about them beating the Celtics or hanging with them in the second round, and of course this series is not over yet, have to finish it off. It's that, the Pistons were the perfect team to get them ready to take on the best in the NBA because they're so physical, they're so tough. It was almost like a smelling salt for these guys to wake up and say, all right, no more messing around. We can't just roll the ball out there and have more talent than the other team and win. We got to fight. We got to fight for these victories, and they certainly have. So, yeah, let's try to finish it off, though. At home on Tuesday, and then get a little rest to make sure we get those ankles taken care of, taped up for Jalen Brunson, and give the Celtics a whirl, huh?
Yeah, I mean, when we left here on Friday, we were hoping that we came here today where they would win both of these games. And both of these games were high-wire acts. They were competitive. I got to give Detroit credit because they don't have nearly the players that the Knicks have.
Right.
And they're hanging with them, and they're giving them everything they can handle. And it's physical as hell, man.
Yeah.
I mean, there are more guys that hit the ground in these games than I think all during the year throughout the entire season.
It's great. I mean, it's a so much better watch than what you see in the regular season where there's clanging threes off the rim and nobody's there and everybody's loitering. It's a totally different game.
Now, I know that you were at the Portly Villager yesterday. You had your guest bartending.
Yes.
By the way, you set records yesterday, and I'm very proud of you and very thankful to you and to everybody out there and to the Portly Villager, and everybody showed up for you.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Showed up for us. Were you able to, like, you have, like, one eye on the game?
Oh, of course,
time?
Yeah.
I mean, saw the videos of when the Knicks won and how jacked everybody was.
Yeah, that was a good one. But, yeah, so there's TVs everywhere. The last 3 or 4 minutes, I did sit there and let the other bartenders do what they had to do and then took in the game to make sure I was knew what was going on. But, yeah, of course. I mean, you can pay attention to what's happening. We put the sound on in the fourth quarter, pumping throughout the bar. But, yeah, they did an amazing job this year, Kegs and Marlene and everybody over there who showed up. We tripled the amount of money that we raised last year this year, which is incredible that everybody stepped up in the way that they did. So very, very, very proud moment, the community coming together, and just tremendous. So great stuff.
I saw all the videos on social media and everything. Just unbelievable. A small little place in Sayville, Long Island, yeah, for 3 hours.
Yeah.
Just did what they did, and it touches me, and it touches our family, and touches everybody that's associated with CF and everything else. I can't even tell you how much we appreciate it. So thank you for doing that. And, there was no way that I was getting out there.
No, I understand. I know.
You have to understand that.
No, trust me. I get it. I mean, listen, it was tough for me, and I live around the corner.
Yes,
you know? I mean, with the Saturday night thing, and then, you know, obviously we had to be up early the next day to get back to Sabrina's soccer game. I knew it was going to be a good day. The Dolphins ended up winning the game, so I had a great game.
Oh, the Dolphins won. Okay.
Yeah, the Dolphins won. No, they didn't beat the Daisies. We haven't played the Daisies since the last time, so that'll be the real test.
So your team is improving.
Yeah, indeed, yes. And they beat the Ladybugs.
They beat
the Ladybugs. But I said, hey, listen, this day is going to be a good day. You start off with a Dolphins victory, and then we have a great fundraiser and a great Knicks win. So it definitely set the tone.
Sabrina score a goal?
She did not. She did. She played goal for a while and did not give up a goal, and
did
had like five
involved?
Saves.
She got involved?
She did.
Maybe
more involved than normal.
Maybe she's a goaltender.
Yeah, she likes it. I mean, she's more aggressive as a goalie than she is any other place
maybe
on
the field.
Maybe
she doesn't like the run.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I mean, because she's smiling. She runs around, she smiles, but she's not aggressive. She's aggressive when she's in the goal. But when she's not, she's just running around smiling the whole time. And I'm like, I'm glad you're having fun, but get the goddamn ball. But anyway.
That's great.
So you're trying to log in there to the Kyrie Irving story.
I can.
All right. So I want to see this because, I mean, it's a total one of these suck you in type of headlines.
Yeah, I know.
But I'd love to know what Kyrie Irving told Karl Anthony Towns that got him going, because of all people. I mean, but you know, Kyrie's been a different guy since he ended up leaving here and going to Dallas. I know he had the big injury, but I mean, it was like everything that he was in Brooklyn that we couldn't stand about him, he completely reversed and turned into the player that wanted.
What I don't understand is, why do you think that happened? Like with Kyrie, like when he was here, maybe it was the COVID thing.
That was a big part of it.
It was the anti-vax thing, which turns out that he was right.
Well, yeah.
I mean, you know, all of these things that went down here when he was here and all the idiocy that we were all living through.
Yeah, I mean, there was the COVID thing was one thing. I mean, we started putting that stuff about the movie out. That was really bad, the anti-Semitic stuff. But I just think it was a time in his life. There was just a lot of stuff going on, and he ended up getting out of here, and things started calming down, and he was teamed up with Luka there for a while. There's not as many eyeballs on him in Dallas. It's just not as much controversy. So it ended up working out for him. But, yeah, I mean, you know, and now you think about that run there and those guys where Kyrie Irving, even though unfortunately he got hurt, but, like, it's like somehow Kevin Durant feels more radioactive than Kyrie Irving does these days.
Yeah.
Which is incredible. Oh, you got it?
I got it, yes.
Oh, okay.
So I'll let you read it here.
All right, very good.
And, you know, during the break.
Yeah, see exactly what it was. And then, of course, we got plenty of draft talk to get into. I mean, it was amazing, the Shedeur Sanders stuff that goes on over the weekend, the prank call. I mean, it was just as wild of a scene as you could possibly have.
Well, I got to tell you, the whole weekend started off with your rant about Jackson Dart.
Yeah, it went everywhere.
That thing was incredible on Friday morning.
Yeah, it went everywhere. That New York Post wrote about it, awful announcing, the whole deal.
You know, the thing about this Jackson Dart kid, just to get away from some of the things that you were talking about, Utah clapper and the mom on Instagram and all the similarities to Zach Wilson. Yes, he went to the same high school as Zach Wilson. He did not go to BYU. He left Utah.
Yep.
He went to USC, and then he went to 3 years in, at Ole Miss, and he played a lot of college football, just like Shedeur Sanders. They both played a lot of college football, which is a good thing. That's a good basis to start from. And, watching some of the interaction with him and John Gruden is hilarious. It is hilarious. And, he's yelling at him. And, of course, Jackson Dart is a kid that loves to run with the football. And he takes hits when he runs with the football. And, Gruden's telling him, why do you take the hit? He goes, well, I'm plus two. What the hell's plus two? He goes, plus two means every time I get a hit, I want to fall forward to get two extra yards. Well, that crap's going to stop now. Mm-hmm. You can't be taking hits in the NFL, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I think the kid comes across as a football player. He comes across as a very likable person, and I think he's going to be a good signing long term for the Giants. If I just go by personality and just watching some of those interviews with John Gruden, I actually like his interaction with him. Like, he wasn't intimidated or anything. He was just had nice matter of fact conversation with Gruden. Gruden can be very intimidating, and he handled it great. And then when it came to the clapping, I mean, that's what they all do in college now, and they got to learn how to become an NFL quarterback. And, Jackson can come here and he can learn. He can learn from both Jameis, or actually all three of them, Tommy DeVito, Jameis, and, of course, Russell Wilson, as to how you handle a huddle, how you call the plays at the line of scrimmage, all of those things that he hasn't had to do.
Yeah. Well, I hope he doesn't play this year, because that means that those guys, a combination of Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston, are playing well. They're winning games. He can learn. Because the last thing you want is to throw a guy in there and then get the start of his career off on the wrong foot. We've seen that way too many times around here.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
I know you had your thing at the Portly Villager. Al, how did your fundraiser go on Friday?
Mine went well. We'll have a final total probably later today, because they were doing things over the weekend as well.
Now, I saw that you auctioned off a picture of Jerry on it. Is that right?
Well, that was that somebody won a T-shirt with Jerry's picture as a high school quarterback, which Izzo made a few years ago. I still had it in my office, so I brought a bunch of stuff from the office, and people seem to enjoy those as giveaways.
How much did that T-shirt go for?
Well, those I had given people as part of their entrance, a raffle ticket. And
that was a raffle prize. That was nice. How many people showed up?
We sold 100 tickets. That was because of the size of the place. That's what we could sell, 100 tickets. So we sold out. So
did you bring me any beer with you or anything? Or did you just let it all go?
I didn't think you were a beer drinker.
Yeah, I am.
Oh. Yeah, I didn't even think of that.
I thought I would at least get a six-pack of Al's Pouring Beer.
Well, they're in four packs.
Even better yet.
Yeah, I could have.
Can you get me one or no?
I could probably do that. Yeah,
you think you could do that? Okay, yeah. Good, thanks. Thanks for
wandering
thinking.
Over there. Sure,
and thank you for doing that. Oh, yeah, very nice. Welcome for you to do that.
And those are big ass beers too.
Oh, they are.
They're not 12 ounces, beers, right? Yeah. They're 16 or 20.
Are they an IPA?
IPAs. Yes. Yep.
Nice.
Who got the big ass beer? You couldn't get the regular beer.
So you had 100 listeners show up. What did you find out? Anything like abnormal or anything about anybody?
No, they were all pretty normal people.
Oh, really? That's good.
Somebody brought me seed oil-free potato chips.
Oh, so nice.
Very thoughtful people over there at the Bradley Brew Project. Very nice.
That was nice. Well, thank you as well.
Thank you. You're welcome.
thank the post. I think about this. So you get the Bradley Brew Project and you got the Portly Villager all going at the same time. That is awesome.
Yep. Same weekend.
Yep.
Very, very good. And it all worked out. And now you got the bike tour finally happening next weekend.
That's exactly right. And your boy, Pat Boyle, comes up to me this morning. And I'm like, look, Pat. He's like, wow. He starts asking me a million questions.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait a minute. You're not getting a one-on-one with me. You figure it out. You got emails. My guys are sending you out emails.
Sure.
You know exactly what's going on. He goes, oh, by the way, I need Gio's bike. I'm like, oh, by the way. So what do you want me to do?
Yeah, mean, we're working on me and Richie Hahn. We got it. We got it figured out.
But like, he's like asking me.
I know.
And I'm like, you're an adult.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
Debatable. I'm an adult. Getting there.
He's trying.
But yeah, we got it all figured out. And by the way, I mean, Richie's got Booming Celebration. He's working on the thing of the Portly.
There's a lot going on.
He's
an animal, man. We love Richie.
So when we love Pat, we'll get him the bike, but it wasn't the priority the last couple of weeks.
I would say, you know, Pat Boyle is our very own Shador Sanders, when you think about it. The way he started here. Need to be slapped around a little bit, beat up.
Well, Shador, if Shador has the same trajectory as Pat Boyle, it'll be okay.
Well, hopefully that's the case. But I mean, like, you know, he came in here and thought that this was his playground.
That is true.
And then he had to be
humbled.
He had to be humbled. Yes.
And it worked out. All right, Jerry, what's going on over there?
We are brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. What's going on? Are your Knickerbockers a big win in Detroit?
Right corner, pump fake, Ananobi. Baseline drive with seven to shoot. Towns up top, pump fake, sidestep, right wing three. Got it for the lead! Karl Anthony Towns! Oh, what a shot! It's 94-93 New York with 46 seconds to go. And J.B. Bickerstaff calls timeout.
Yeah, and they would get an opportunity. That was a long three by Towns. That was Knicks radio with the call. And then the final sequence.
Cade to the lane. Rises and fires. It's off the heel. Battered around. 4 seconds. 3 seconds. Two. Hardaway from the left corner. Guns for three. It won't go through.
Oh, they're mad. Wow.
And time appears to have run out on the Pistons.
And time did run
out. I'll
tell
you what. If they would have called that foul on Josh Hart. I mean, I can understand why they would want the foul to be called.
Yeah.
I mean, he definitely hit him on the way up.
I mean, I think that that is a foul in a game that was officiated differently than this one was. Exactly.
Unless you were clotheslining someone and they went down and they were bloody. They weren't calling anything.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. So that's a foul in a different game. It wasn't a foul.
I know, but I'm just saying that was a foul. I mean, and that's the... I just want to say with Josh Hart, because he gives you so much effort and he does so many good things, that if that would have happened and that would have been a foul, oh boy. Because that was Hart, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the Knicks hold on, 94-93. By the way, they were down 11 with just over 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. You had Brunson in and out of the game with the ankle, but came back and had a monster fourth quarter, 15 of his 32 in the fourth. Towns finished with 27. Here was old Tibbs. Knicks now up 3-1.
When things weren't going our way, everyone was just, they said, it's keep fighting, and you win with, you know, your toughness and your discipline. And so you got to bring that for an entire game.
And it was a physical game. Here was Brunson on ESPN on the court afterwards.
I mean, this is a pretty intense game. And just, I don't know how, but I'm happy we won.
You head home, ankle's all good?
Yeah, ankle's all good.
Ankle is all good, so that's good news. That'll be Tuesday night, tomorrow night, which will be game five, where the Knicks can close it out. Here was Hart on Towns, because he had that, I mean, you want to talk about a go-ahead three from way out. Also had some crazy shots again, fading out of bounds from in close.
And by the way, I was reading the article this morning by Stephon Bondi. It's basically Karl Anthony Towns giving credit to Kyrie Irving for working on his fadeaway jumper. Over the summer in California, and they really worked on it. And, you know, he was saying after the game how, you know, it's not as pretty as Kyrie's, but it's effective.
Yep, it's all that counts.
Looks pretty. I'm with Kyrie.
There you go.
Nice. Here's Hart on Towns.
Yeah, I mean, that's Cat. You know, you guys cover the NBA all the time. First three quarters, you know, you go out there and you hoop, and, you know, you get guys involved, and in that fourth quarter, your guys, they go win you the game, and that's what they did.
And that's what they did. Now, in terms of the final sequence that we played for you, here was an upset J.B. Bickerstaff, as you can imagine, that there was no call made.
There's contact on Tim Hardaway's jump shot. You know, I don't know any other way around it. There's contact on his jump shot. The guy leaves his feet. He's at Timmy's mercy. And I repeat, there's contact on his jump shot.
I always love this when the officials then, after the game, on the post-game reports, yeah, we missed it.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Doesn't matter. But then the other thing is, too, like, you missed it by the letter of the law. Once again, can't say this enough. The way that game was officiated, there was 15 calls that were worse than that weren't made.
Might be more than that.
I mean, so you can't all of a sudden that's a foul to end the game on the free throw line? No. And how about the fact that the Pistons choke like dogs down the stretch? Anybody ask him about that? I mean, you guys are up double digits.
At home.
So zip it. Same thing I said to Tom Thibodeau, by the way, after game two. So
zip it.
This is a universal take of zip it with the officials and play better.
All right, well then you can hold that for just a second because here was J.J. Redick after the T-Wolves beat the Lakers 116-113.
Let's just start with Luka got tripped. I mean, that was a blatant trip. He doesn't just fall on his own. We watched it. You know, he gets tripped. So we should have been at the free throw line.
It's unbelievable. Everybody's screaming about the officiating.
Yeah, these guys don't care.
Well, but you know what? This is the problem when you have inconsistency from game to game and crew to crew, you're going to get a lot of complaining. T-Wolves win by three. They're up three games.
But let's also face it, these games are so much more intense.
Yeah, guys are actually playing hard.
They're actually playing hard and competing, unlike, you know, the way that they play during the regular season.
Not the same game.
Right.
Not even remotely close. Anthony Edwards had 43 in the win for Minnesota, and I think Julius Randle had 25 for the T-Wolves, again, up 3-1. Celtics up 3-1. They beat the Magic 107-98. Pacers up 3-1 on the Bucks, 129-103. The final, Indiana shot 60% from the field. Damian Lillard, the Achilles injury left in that game. Don't know if we'll see him again or not. Mets blew a 7-1 lead in the seventh. Hard to believe as they've been playing really well all season long and wound up actually blowing a game in Washington.
Static set. 0-1. Garcia, it's a bouncy ball to the right side. Alonso fields it deep first. Throws to Stanek. Throws the ball high. It goes toward home plate. Abrams scores to win the game.
And that was Keith Rad with the call on 880 Mets Odyssey Radio. Abrams tied the game with a single and then would score the winning run on that play.
That was horrendous by Pete Alonso.
Bad throw. Bad day, bad throw, as the Nationals get the game-winning error, if you will, and they win 8-7.
I'm sorry. Like, this was really annoying, but the slow-motion Stanek on his ass with his hair over his shoulder. I mean, I can laugh at this because there's still 10 games over 500, and they're fine, but, I mean, it's just that slow motion there, sitting on the field is like, God.
Pete Alonso looked like he launched that ball.
They just flipped it too high.
Looked like he was, shot-putting it.
It was like he was trying to guide the ball to him instead of throwing it to him.
Let it rip and fall pitchers. Right at him.
Like pitchers when they get those ground balls. Yeah. That's why I love to see him do the underhand situation.
Who was the guy in the Cubs that couldn't do it?
And he would Lester. John
Lester. That's right. There you go. Here was Stanek. He says, bad day. Give them credit, though.
They get paid to play ball, too. So, you go there and you execute your game plan. And, a couple balls fall or squeak through.
They did.
This is my first baseman throws a ball to me. I can make an out.
Yeah,
and
seriously.
Also, what led to, you could certainly make the case, part of this comeback was Juan Soto in right field. Mm. Had a little trouble with the sun and a ball fell in front of him.
I play here a long time. Definitely I play most in left field. But late the last couple of last years that I have here, I play right field. But yeah, it's always been a battle with that son right there.
Man.
At least he was close.
He didn't get within 10 feet of that ball.
Yeah, one thing I will say, he always has an answer.
He does.
He may not like it, but he has an answer.
And he did have a couple of hits yesterday, so he may be starting to feel himself up.
Oh, it's Juan Soto.
Mets now 19-9. They will go for the series split this afternoon at 4:05 on 880 Mets Odyssey Radio. Griffin Canning gets the start against Trevor Williams, one of those odd wraparound series. Yankees took two from the Blue Jays. They win the first game 11-1. Austin Wells a three-run double, so all was good. And then in the second game, you had a couple of home runs that were hit, including one from Mr. Aaron Judge.
Aaron Judge leads off here, top six. Judge, Bellinger, Chisholm against Chris Bassett. First pitch, swung on, drag deep to right. Off the end of that bat, that ball is driven deep, and goodbye! Aaron Judge with a home run, and the Yankees lead it 2-1.
Hey now.
Yes. Hey now.
That was Dave Sims with the call on the fan. In this second game, Judge homered, Trent Grisham homered, and J.C. Ascara had a base hit and a home run. That was his first career home run. He was with Susan after the game.
Amazing, yeah. About time. I was waiting for a hard hit ball. But, you know, it's a dream come true. And first of all, to hit my first major league home run here at Yankee Stadium.
It didn't sound like he was Susan. That sounded like a guy's voice.
Yeah,
laughing,
somebody
right?
was chuckling there. Yes, okay. It was a man.
Mislabeled. Yeah. Tim Hill, the winning relief after Clark Schmidt threw five innings of one-run ball. Also, over the weekend, you had Devin Williams implode on Friday night. So we found out yesterday, at least we heard from Aaron Boone and Devin Williams. I know we don't hear from him usually, but this is Boone on Williams. Really just going to be a reliever right now.
For right now, I think it's best for everyone that we pull him out of that role.
In the role of being a closer, Williams asked about that.
Are you disappointed?
I mean, yeah, it's disappointing, you know. You work for years to get to that point, and to have that taken away from you, it's not a fun feeling at all.
Well, the reason this was taken away from
you. I can't say it's undeserved.
The reason it's taken away from him is because you made them take it away from you.
And that was his last clip. Yeah. It wasn't undeserved.
Right. All right. So that's all right. I didn't hear that.
Yes. So you had good awareness. You got the Yankees in Baltimore tonight. First pitch on the fan at 6:35. Will Warren will make the start. A couple of other things from baseball throughout the course of the morning. Bill Belichick sat down with CBS. He was
Sunday morning, right, with Tony DiCopoli.
Yep. And he was asked about his girlfriend, Jordan Hudson, who was to the side, if you will, watching this.
You have Jordan right over there. Everybody in the world seems to be following this relationship. They've got an opinion about your private life. It's got nothing to do with them, but they're invested in it. How do you deal with that?
Never been too worried about what everybody else thinks. Just try to do what I feel like is best for me and what's right.
Fair enough. The follow-up question, at least in the clip that was posted.
How did you guys meet?
Not talking about this.
No?
No.
Yeah.
Oh,
she
wow.
shut that down.
I'll tell you, she is a very confident young lady, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, that's one way to put it. But I thought we knew how they met, though. What was so controversial about
that?
It was
on
a plane,
right?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
we've heard about it every which way.
Right, he signed the book and the whole thing.
How did you guys meet?
Not talking about this.
No?
No.
Okay.
I mean, it's weird because they put themselves out there all the time with all the Instagram stuff, and then when they're asked questions about it, then they're running and hiding.
I thought it was odd.
Yeah.
Very odd. And then you mentioned that he was asked about social media.
You joined InstaFace, as you put it. I love that. There's some great pictures of you and Jordan where you're a fisherman and she's a mermaid. It's charming. It's a different side of you. What's the reaction been like?
What's it been like?
He could just be a total jerk, though. You know, he could really be a total. All this stuff is out there, and Tony's asking him questions about what you're putting out there. How about
I know.
Honest answer.
Yeah, I really thought he was going to react differently because he's been different with this relationship. But
not
no,
talking
he,
about this.
Not talking about this. Okay,
and it's
all right, boss lady.
It's an yes, it's an odd sight because as you watch the video, she's off with a laptop in front of her, and she literally. We're not talking about this. Okay. Like, wow.
Yeah. And then Tony DiCopoli's like, no.
He goes, no.
No. No.
Wow. No, we're not. Did I stutter? Yeah. Like, she's in charge.
She is in charge. You may be running the whole North Carolina football program.
Possibly. We shall see. And not a good day for the Devils. They lost to the Hurricanes 5-2. They are down 3-1 in that series.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We will get into the NFL draft coming up in a little bit. Want to talk some Knicks with us or whatever you want. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. I wanted to tell you this story. So on Saturday morning, I take the girls to their dance class. And the woman behind the desk who runs part of the dance school, and I had to get Summer's costume, she starts talking to me about hockey. And she goes, I'd really like to tell you this story so you could share it with Boomer. I said, all right. So she goes, my father passed away last weekend. His name was Vinnie Ward. He's Suffolk PD, Army vet. And just a great guy, huge Ranger fan. And she goes, I'm not kidding you.
The last words that I said to him were, they fired LaViolette. And she goes, and I know he died happy. And I said, this is unbelievable.
Wow.
She goes, I swear to God, that was the first thing. And she goes, you know, I'm actually happy that he passed before they re-signed Drury.
Oh, boy.
These are the types of fans. So yes. R.I.P. Vinnie Ward. But I just thought that was an unbelievable story. She goes, literally, the last words I said to my father while he was still alive.
The Rangers fired me.
The Rangers fired LaViolette, and I knew he was happy.
Wow. I mean, I'm just assuming maybe he was sleeping at the time, or I'm just wondering if she got a reaction from him.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But she said it's a story she'll have forever because they shared the Ranger fandom since she was a little girl. So I thought that was tremendous, and she had a smile on her face and lived a great life. And I had to share that with you. And
fast forward like 25 years, Gunnar saying to me,
Dad, we won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah. Well, let's hope it's more than 25 years. You never want to put a date on that.
I know that, but I'm just saying, like, yeah, Dad, we won the Stanley Cup. Okay. Thank God.
Yeah. So at the end of the black tie event that we had on Saturday, Duncan was so nice to donate some BEF Boomer Esiason Foundation donuts, like logo donuts that they have, you know, with the edible stuff. You know, they put our faces on them.
Yeah.
So Gina eats one the night before, and there's the picture of us. Great picture of us there. Although there's a light shining on your head, and it looks like
there's a bump on my head.
Yeah, it's not a bump. It was a light, and it looks like you hit your head on something.
Okay. I have one on my head as well. You can see,
yeah, the blue one.
In,
yeah,
it's like a blue light.
Yeah, very odd. So he was like, "Oh, Boomer bump his head." I'm like, "No, it's just a light." But anyway, so we get these donuts. So Gene eats one the night before, and then she's bringing the other one home. And the valet guy at the hotel, tell me if this professional, unprofessional. He asked for the donut.
Did he early?
Yeah. He goes, I heard those are very special donuts.
Yeah, well, maybe he was a little hungry. Did she give up the donut?
She did.
She did? Well, that's all right.
That's a bold move here. Asking for the donut.
I mean, Duncan sent over a ton of donuts.
They did. They did. It was amazing. But I was like, this guy's really going for it. He's like, oh, special donuts. He's like, I'd love to have one of those.
See, speaking about that, I had one of those... I usually don't do this, but I have one of those espresso martinis.
Oh, I had two of them, yeah.
From 4 or 5 Coffee.
Yeah.
And, I was, like, wide awake.
Yeah, yep.
And then leaving, taking donuts on top of it.
A lot of sugar.
Yes.
A lot of sugar. But it's all good.
Yeah.
You know, special occasions.
Yes.
Special occasions. And then Gina did the same thing she's done for 7 years. She assumes that Matt Martin doesn't remember who she is and then embarrasses herself every single year.
Okay.
Goes, hey, Matt. Me, Gina, Greg's wife. You remember me? And then Matt goes, yeah. Every year you do the same thing.
Yeah, but Gina looked great, man.
Oh, of course. She goes all out. She goes all out for this thing. She goes like, you know, at like noon. We leave at like 4 o'clock to come into the city. She's at noon. She did the hair and makeup and all the thing.
One of the cutest things that I saw the whole night was my friend Mike Norseth's daughter came with him. Her name is Chloe. And she had a beautiful pink dress on.
Mm.
And she looked gorgeous. I mean, just absolutely stunning. And little Winnie looked at her, and I think she might have met her last year. I'm not sure. I don't know if she's actually met her before. And she looked at Chloe Norseth thinking that she was a real live princess.
Aww.
And she thought that she was a real live princess.
That's pretty cool.
And she's over there going, you're so beautiful. I love your dress. And this is like a 4-year-old.
Well, she's seen the real live princesses down at Disney.
She did. And Chloe looked like one on Saturday night.
Yeah. No, that's tremendous. And then Casper, he gets the microphone for the first time up there between you and Gunnar on Saturday night.
Yeah.
And he handled it, man. You know, kids can be shy in those situations. He's not shy.
No, he is not shy. He's in the middle of everything and very bright, and that's the miracle.
Yep.
That is the miracle.
No, absolutely. And then how about Breitling's got to make two watches now?
Yes, they do.
Terry over there at Breitling, you freaked him out. So there were two guys who were bidding on these beautiful limited edition Philadelphia Eagles Breitling watches, and the number got up to a very nice number for a donation. And you said, you know what, we're gonna make another one of these, Terry.
I kind of like told Terry, if I can get two guys up to a certain number, can we get another one?
Oh, okay, good.
You know, so he was kind of ready for it, but you know, I didn't want him embarrass him in front of the entire room.
Okay, good. Yeah,
yeah,
you
but
did
they,
not.
You know, if you remember last year, they did a beautiful Super Bowl watch for Super Bowl 58.
Yeah,
2 years ago, for my last Super Bowl in Vegas, and we had a great showing, and we auctioned one of those watches off last year. This year, they signed a new 5-year extension with the NFL, Breitling did.
Nice.
And that just happened within the last month. And they have a limited edition gold Super Bowl 59 logo with the Eagles logo in it, or watch in it. And it's a beautiful, gorgeous watch. And there happened to be some Eagle fans there on Saturday night.
Yes.
And they each wanted one.
And they got it. So very good.
Yeah, they're not even made yet.
Wow.
They'll be delivered, I think, in July.
Yeah.
Impressive. But they are gorgeous. So there you have it. That's how you raise money. And you saw it at the Portly. Al saw it at the Bradley Brew Project. I saw it at the Tap Room. There are a lot of great people out there, man. There are a lot of really, really great people that get what we do and like what we do and support what we do.